WDN. Willamay. Think Tim. Damnation. We are talking to you. Peace and be wild.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Beautiful humans, wandering creatives, midnight thinkers, early morning grinders, and anybody tuning in from that quiet place between hope and hustle, you are now listening to Why Make Music. Episode 058, Once Upon a Time. I am your host, your voice in the headphones, your warm cookie right out the oven, DJ Warm Cookies, also known as Willamay. And because this is WDMN Media, let me get the business out of the way so we can get to the story. Make sure you're following every single corner of the empire. Instagram, at ThinkTim, at WDMNation Media, at WDMNation, at DJ Warm Cookies, at Why Make Music, at Lower Level Collections Facebook, ThinkTim, and WDMNation Media Blue Sky, ThinkTim Merch, TeePublic, Calm and Threadless. Come type ThinkTim or WDMN Media and go wild. Hit all the buttons, follow, like, subscribe, engage, testify, duet, remix, whatever your platform lets you do. Because around here, we don't play small, we don't half step, and we definitely don't let anybody assume we're not working. If we're breathing, we're building. Now, before we jump into this episode's main story, this epic, mythical, modern-day origin tale we're about to spin, let's talk updates. Because there is a whole lot happening in music right now. Let's start with the wild one. An AI artist, yes. A fully artificial cowboy crafted in a motherboard somewhere just hit hash. One on the country digital sales chart. That's right. A non-breathing digital cowboy dummy hawed his way past everybody in Nashville. And before anybody gets sensitive, relax. This is good news for us. Because if an algorithm is out here Lindensing all the way up the charts, then WDMN Media, with actual souls, actual stories, actual heartbreaks, actual 3 a.m. mixing sessions, we've got more than enough ammunition to compete. And speaking of AI artists, our girl Zania Monet continues her digital domination. Billboard placements, visual drops, a seven-figure deal with Hollywood Media. No hate, no shade, no jealousy. Just inspiration, just motivation. Just that if she can do it, so can we, energy. Because if they can catch a wave, then when we catch ours, it's gonna be a tsunami. And honey, speaking of waves, let's talk about what this house is cooking. We are fingers crossed, prayers up, caffeine loaded, sleep deprived, maybe a little delusional, but fully determined to make If I Was Your Producer Volume 5 hit this coming Friday, November 21st, on all streaming platforms. And if we miss the deadline by a breath, we'll let you know. But the goal is locked. The mission is active. The files are bouncing. The metadata is metadating. Volume 5 is coming. And y'all, we're stepping up the visuals. Like, if lyrics are better than instrumentals, and visuals are better than lyrics, then baby, WDMN Media is about to live in the superior tier. The algorithm won't know what hit it. We're talking music videos, lyric films, motion pieces, animated sequences, AI renders, the whole buffet. Because to get sync placements, to get press, to build a legacy, to get supervisors to stop scrolling and say wait, WHAT is this. You need visuals that slap people in the face gently, but effectively. Gently, but effectively. And look, since we're being transparent today, let me sprinkle a little Easter egg for the real listeners. 4 days ago, Our fearless producer, Think Tim, was literally running a heart rate of 203 beats per minute. SVT, VTEC, the whole medical alphabet soup. Should he have been resting? Probably. Did he? Absolutely not. Because he refuses to let the universe brand him a loser. So I'll just say it for him. I will not lose. Not today, not tomorrow, not next week, not ever. And now, with the business aired out, the announcements delivered, the polls stabilized, the vision sharpened, and the flag of WDMN Media planted firmly in the ground, it's time. Time for the tale. Time for the origin. Time for the myth. Time for the journey. Time for the once upon a time of it all. Let the story begin. Long, long ago. In a mind not that far away. The Bard with a Thousand Faces prologue. The ordinary world in a humble room cluttered with vinyl records and notebooks. A young musician sat with headphones on, drowning out the mundane world. The walls weren't just decorated, they were haunted. On one side, Prince stared down in Saturn and smoke, flanked by the whole MPL's galaxy. The Time, Vanity 6, Sheila E., that entire purple family tree that taught her what it meant to make a groove strut. Next to them, George Clinton flirted on an illustrated mothership, Parliament and Funkadelic, orbiting like moons around his grin. Sly Stone, Larry Graham, Earth, Wind and Fire, Brothers Johnson, whole universes of bass and brass that made the floorboards remember every step. On another wall, there was the Church of Songwriters and Poets. Bob Dylan, Frozen Midverse. Joni in the corner of a coffee-stained poster. Leonard Cohen she'd discovered through liner notes and late-night rabbit holes. The Beatles all in one frame. Elvis Presley in another. James Brown, frozen mid-screen. Cape in the air. Madonna, Cyndi Lauper, Iron X's. Duran Duran, Hole & Oates. Phil Collins, Sting. All part of the MTV bleached collage of hooks that taught her what a chorus does to a human brain. The jazz and fusion elders looked on from their own shrines. Miles Davis in cool blue profile, Stanley Clarke mid-run, George Duke mid-chord, the ones who showed her that harmony is allowed to be dangerous. In a smaller frame sat Quincy Jones, half smiling behind a conductor's stand, and John Williams' buffoon raised over an imaginary orchestra, reminding her that music could turn even a quiet room into a galaxy. The hip-hop and R&B architects were stacked in a proud corner. Babyface and Delay Reed, Teddy Riley, Albie Shaw, Trackmasters, Qualm, Herbie Lovebug. Then the next wave, the Neptunes, Swizz Beatz, Timbaland, Sean Diddy Combs, Jay-Z, Kanye West, A Tribe Called Quest, The Roots with Questlove, At The Kid and Black Thought Midbar. A reminder that drums and words, done right, are their own religion. On the shelf sat a small but serious pantheon of 90s 2000s outliers. D'Angelo, frozen in sepia soul. Erykah Badu, wrapped in head wrap and mystery. Alicia Keys at the piano with Swizz in the liner note. Jamiroquai in a hat too big to be legal. Dave Matthews, mid-strum. Tori Amos and Arnie DeFranco. Both looking like they'd write a life story, then burn it before you could read it. And taped near the desk the modern quills. Billie Eilish and Phineas side by side in a studio shot, proving a bedroom can rival any label budget. Taylor Swift, arms raised in front of an arena of phone lights, with tiny scribbles in the margin where our musician had written, long game, no skips. Names like Amy Allen, St. Vincent, and St. Vincent's wild guitar tone appeared in interviews she'd clipped. They were proof that the present tense of music could be just as legendary as the past. These weren't just posters and records. They were guardian spirits a choir of influences humming in the background of her life. Every time she pressed play, a different ghost took the wheel. One minute she was riding out on P-Funk's mothership. The next she was sinking into a quiet Taylor bridge, then getting slapped awake by a Roots drum break or a Prince guitar scream. By day, she was quiet, almost ordinary, just another face in the crowd. By night, she became an antenna. In secret, she filled page after page with lyrics and dreams, each line a step beyond the reality around her. Friends often said they felt they knew her when they heard her music, yet only she knew how much she held back. Her deepest truths lived between the lines of scribbled notebooks and half-finished demos. The world outside knew little of the epic story forming within her, and even she was only beginning to sense the journey waiting beyond her door. The call of the muse. One moonless night, as our musician strummed a gentle chord on her old guitar, a chord she'd stolen from a Dave Matthews Live video and bent like. Bonnie DeFranco might something mythical stirred in the air. A single note rang out clearer than any she'd ever played it, hung there, resonating. It felt like a little bit of Miles, a little bit of Sting, a little bit of Jamiroquai, all caught in one vibration. She felt it in her chest, a call to adventure no words could quite capture. It was as if the universe plucked a cosmic string, echoing the call that Joseph Campbell spoke of, a hero's invitation to step beyond the familiar. In the corner of her eye, a light glimmered. She removed her headphones and followed the glint out the door, heart pounding. Down the empty street floated a small purple orb, shimmering with otherworldly light. It pulsed like a heartbeat, beckoning her onward. She knew it was crazy to follow a mysterious light in the dead of night, yet something in her soul insisted. Clutching her guitar close like a talisman, she stepped into the silent street and trailed the orb. The purple orb danced through the air, leading her beyond her sleepy neighborhood to an old, abandoned music hall at the edge of town. As she approached, the orb pulsed brighter, hovering above the hall's entrance. Carved above the door were strange words that she mouthed to herself. Never on this land lived a legend who wasn't once a wanderer. It felt like a dare and a promise. With a deep breath, she pushed open the heavy doors, her fate entwining with the echoes of countless songs within, crossing the threshold of purple vision. Inside, the auditorium was dark and thick with dust, but the stage lights suddenly blazed to life in a wash of deep purple. The orb shot forward and burst into a shower of violet sparks above the stage. In that glow, a lone figure stood by the microphone, a man in a velvet purple coat and high-heeled boots, silhouette unmistakable. He struck an otherworldly chord on a gleaming guitar, and the sound was an electric bolt through her soul. She knew that stance, that energy. It can't be. She whispered, eyes wide. Yet there he was, Prince, or perhaps an apparition of him. Eyes lined in coal and a knowing smile playing on his lips. This phantom prince let loose a riff that shook the rafters, then addressed her in a low, playful voice. So you heard the call, darling, he purred, twirling the mic stand. You gonna just stand there or join the jam? Her heart thundered. This was the music of her childhood come alive before her, the purple one himself inviting her onward. It felt like a test and an initiation. She stepped slowly down the aisle toward the stage. I am nobody special. Why would you? She stammered. Prince tossed his head, purple lights reflecting off his guitar. Every legend starts somewhere, baby. Even I was just a shy kid writing in a notebook once, he said, almost teasing. If you got the music in you, then on this stage, you're already somebody. With trembling fingers, she slung her guitar off her shoulder. Prince's apparition nodded at the empty spot beside him, encouraging her to stand under the lights. This was her crossing of the threshold, the moment an ordinary person dares to step into the realm of legends. She climbed up on stage, knees weak, but spirit eager. Together they played a song, one she'd never heard, yet somehow knew by heart. It was raw and funk-laced, her cautious chords interweaving with his masterful ones. When her confidence wavered, Prince spun around her with a mischievous grin, urging her on with an improvised verse. The lyrics flowed through her like a prophecy. In the night, a star is born from the sound, a purple flame on holy ground. Don't fear the light that you became, sing your truth and wear that name. As the last note reverberated, the purple lights dimmed to a soft glow. She realized she had just held her own in a duet with her idol's spirit. Catching her breath, she turned to Prince, but the stage was empty now. He was gone, a lingering wisp of purple smoke dissipating in the spotlight. In his place lay a single item, a purple guitar pick emblazoned with a symbol, one she recognized as the merging of male and female, Prince's iconic glyph. She picked it up gingerly, smiling through tears. That symbol in hand, she understood. The first gift of her journey. Courage to express herself boldly. Prince had passed on a fragment of his fearless creativity to her. The auditorium went dark again, but she felt no fear. Pocketing the pick, she turned toward a new glow. Interlude. The Pantheon corridor has the last hint of purple smoke faded, and she picked up the glyph-marked pick. The lights in the old music hall didn't go out completely. Instead, a soft golden glow appeared behind the stage, spilling through a narrow doorway she hadn't noticed before. The doorway opened into a long corridor lined with framed photographs and floating, spinning vinyl records. Every few feet, a different era hummed at low volume. To her left, a hologram of James Brown did a half split in silence. His good God scream, visible but unheard, pure energy trapped in the freeze frame. Across from him, George Clinton hovered upside down in cartoon colors, the mothership parked behind him. Further down, Sly Stone grinned behind enormous shades, while Larry Graham's bass rumbled through the floorboards like distant thunder. She walked slowly, fingers grazing sleeve art, earth, wind, and fire's galaxies. The slick suits of Brothers Johnson, the sharp angles of Grace Jones, the neon worlds of Duran Duran, INXS, and Cyndi Lauper. Each cover glowed when she passed, as if recognizing one of their own. On the opposite wall, a sequence of producers and architects watched from their control rooms. Babyface leaning back with a notebook, L.A. Reid checking levels, Teddy Riley mid-swing with New Jack in his grin, Albie Shaw in a haze of reverb and romance. Next to them, a flicker of the 90s and 2000s. Trackmasters, Qualm, Herpy Lovebug, their names tagging the walls like invisible graffiti. The Neptunes under fluorescent lights, everything in the frame looking cooler than physics should allow. Swizz Beatz leaning on a car that probably cost more than the block she grew up on. Further in, the corridor shifted. Posters of A Tribe Called Quest, The Roots, Black Thought, Midbar, Quest's Love behind a kit big enough to conquer cities. Jay-Z in a crisp black and white profile. Kanye in his early backpack phase, mic in one hand, future controversy nowhere in sight yet, just raw ambition. Sean Combs appeared not as a rapper, but as a silhouette behind studio glass, orchestrating energy like Quincy's younger cousin. The air changed again as she moved. On the next stretch of wall, the portraits were closer, more intimate. Tori Amos, head bowed over a piano like it was an altar. Annie DeFranco, guitar held like a weapon and a shield. Dave Matthews' mid-crooked smile, acoustic slung low, a still of Jamiroquai mid-spin, as if gravity hadn't been properly explained to him. Then came the modern scribes. Billie Eilish and Phineas hunched over a laptop in a bedroom that looked suspiciously like hers, glowing in lead dimness. Alicia Keys had a grand piano, light in her hair, swizz somewhere in the liner notes, unseen but felt. Taylor Swift carrying an acoustic like a diary you could hear, surrounded by scribbled production notes. Co-writer names like Amy Allen and producers whose fingerprints were all over the sound. Between all of them, there were other faces she loved. St. Vincent twisting a guitar line into something alien. Sting with a fretless bass. Phil Collins mid-drum fill freeze. Quincy Jones and John Williams, each holding a different part of the cinematic sky. At the very end of the corridor was a mirror. For a heartbeat, she thought it was just her own reflection. Tired eyes. Secondhand clothes. Guitar strap cutting across her chest. But as she looked closer, the mirror shimmered. For brief flashes, she saw other silhouettes overlay hers. A top hat like Slash. A bass like Stanley Clark. A mic posture like D'Angelo. A head wrap like Erykah Badu. A key stance like Alicia. A defiant chin lift like Grace Jones. A calm focus like Sting. A wild grin like George Clinton. A thousand faces, a thousand poses, flickering in and out of her shadow. Then it was just her again, but different. Because now she understood. She wasn't imitating them. She was carrying them. Prince's pick warmed in her palm. Dylan's words echoed from the stage behind. Marley's future presence hummed somewhere ahead like a distant drum. She gave the mirror a slight nod, turned, and walked back through the door. The golden corridor faded, leaving only the dusty stage and the weight of everything she'd just seen. When she stepped out of the hall and back into the night, she no longer felt like a random kid clutching a guitar. She felt like the latest chapter in a book written by all of them, and one that she now had the pen to continue. She stepped out of the hall into the night. The path ahead was unknown, but she was across the threshold now. There was no turning back. The bard on the road, words of a prophet. Outside, the world had shifted. The street that should have led back home now stretched endlessly forward, dissolving into a hazy twilight highway. Our musician ventured forth along this road that seemed to wind through time itself. The air was warm, tinged with the scent of possibility. In the distance, she heard the faint strum of an acoustic guitar and a voice humming a tune as old as the hills. Drawn to it, she followed the roadside until she came upon a solitary traveler sitting under a crooked tree. He was a lanky figure with a weathered leather jacket, harmonica in hand, and an old guitar resting on his knee. A harmonica rack hung around his neck, and beneath the brim of his hat, sharp eyes regarded her. He greeted her with a simple nod and continued playing. The melody was hauntingly familiar. How many roads must a man walk down? The very tune that had ignited her social conscience years ago. She gasped softly. There was no mistaking him. Bob Dylan, the bard of folk, sat before her, very much alive in this twilight world. She sank to her knees, mesmerized. Dylan's voice was raspy, yet gentle as he spoke. "You've come a long way from that little room, haven't you?" He gestured for her to sit. She did, feeling like a disciple at the feet of a master poet. He offered her a swig from a flask she imagined it might be filled with answers, but it tasted like simple water. "I know who you are," she said quietly. Dylan chuckled, lines crinkling by his eyes. "I'm whoever you need me to be on this road, kid. Maybe just a fellow traveler." He studied her guitar. "That a new pick you got there?" She nodded and showed him the purple pick gleaming in her hand. Dylan gave an approving grin. "Ah, got a little bit of that purple rain in you now. I see. he said, deliberately punning rain for rain. Courage to be you, that's good. But you'll need more than that where you're headed. He started strumming a soft chord progression and motioned for her to play along. Together, their guitars conversed in gentle arpeggios. As they played, he spoke in sing-song, almost like reciting a poem to the music. The times are a-changing on this road tonight, but the truth's tucked away out of mind, out of sight. Keep your eyes wide, for the chance won't come twice. What's your story to tell? What's the word to the wise? There's a secret you carry, a shield and a song. You'll show the world only what makes you strong. But in verses and rhymes, in the stories you tell, you reveal just enough, and you hide it so well. His words flowed straight into her heart. In them she heard acknowledgement of her guarded nature. How she pours herself into songs yet still holds something back. The realization made her shiver. How do I know if I'm being honest enough? She asked softly. How do I tell my story so that people feel it? Yet it's still my story to keep. Dylan stopped strumming. The twilight had deepened around them, stars peeking out. He looked up as if searching among them. Honesty's a fine blade, he said at length. You gotta cut deep enough to bleed truth, but not so deep you bleed out your soul. He turned to her, eyes intense. It's okay to keep some of yourself for you. The folks out there, he gestured to the distant horizon where a faint city's skyline glowed. They need songs to guide them, comfort them. But you don't owe them all of you, just the best of you. She held on to every word. This was the wisdom she didn't know she was seeking, permission to balance vulnerability with self-preservation. Bob handed her the harmonica from around his neck. Take this, he said. A gift from one bard to another. When words fail, let it speak for you. Its voice is raw, honest, pure feeling. It'll remind you that sometimes simplicity cuts through chaos. She accepted the harmonica, its metal cool in her palm. When she looked up again, Dylan was already hoisting his guitar onto his back, ready to continue down the road. Will I see you again? She asked, suddenly emotional at the thought of losing this guiding presence. He gave a little half smile. I'll always be around in the songs. Just listen. And as he walked off into the shadows, he called back. Keep your heart open, kid. There's beauty in the struggle. And remember the answer. It's blowing in the wind. His last words echoed an old familiar lyric, the meaning renewed just for her. Clutching the harmonica and purple pick, she felt both heavier and lighter. Her kit of inspiration was growing courage from Prince, wisdom from Dylan. Tucking the harmonica into her jacket pocket, she continued down the road. The faint skyline ahead signaled the next chapter of her journey. She could sense trials waiting in that glowing city, but also the promise of an audience, a chance to prove herself and share her voice. Trials of the city do the right thing. Soon the lone highway merged into busy streets. She found herself standing at the crossroads of a bustling city neighborhood, alive with color, sound, and tension. Neon lights buzzed overhead, illuminating murals on brick walls, paintings of heroes and protests, of unity and division. The city pulsed with energy, like a song both joyful and anguished. As she wandered deeper in, guitar strapped to her back, she realized this place was familiar in spirit. It echoed scenes from Spike Lee joints she'd watched, wide-eyed tailies of neighborhoods fighting to do the right thing amid heat and conflict. It was midday now, strangely. Time flowed differently on this journey, and the sun beat down mercilessly. On one corner, an older man blasted reggae music from a storefront radio. The lilting voice of Bob Marley carrying a message of one love through the streets. upon another, a group of young guys argued passionately about something, their raised voices sharp over the constant backbeat of city life. As she passed, she caught snippets of their fight. The landlord had raised the rent on the local music bar, threatening to shut it down. "This place is our heart, man," one shouted. "They can't just take it." Another kicked a trash can, frustration evident. Bystanders watched warily. These tensions could easily spark into chaos. Our musician felt a pang in her chest. A music bar closed down. The very thought hurt. Music was life here. How could someone snuff it out for money? The argument escalated, anger and despair swirling. She remembered Dylan's parting advice. "Keep your heart open. There's beauty in the struggle." Perhaps this trial was not a literal battle with monsters, but a test of compassion and courage. Could she help somehow? She approached the cluster of neighbors and artists gathering outside the threatened bar. Its metal shutters were graffitied with the word "soul" in bright colors. People had started to chant, "Save our stage. Save our stage." But their voices were fragmented. She hesitated at the edge of the crowd, then slowly unslung her guitar. If ever there was a time to use her music, it was now. Strumming a chord, she raised her voice and began to sing a passionate, impromptu song. "Gather round, people. Come hear in my sound. Our stage is our spirit. They can't tear it down. We'll sing for our freedom. We'll stand up as one. This mic is our weapon. Our battle's begun. They can't steal the music. Can't silence our song. Together we'll show them the place we belong." Her voice rang out clear and strong, surprising even herself with its resolve. The melody she chose carried a hint of reggae rhythm, a subconscious nod to Marley's influence from that radio, fused with folk protest vibes and a pop catchiness that made it easy to join. One by one, heads turned away from anger and towards her music. The man who had kicked the trash can now tapped his foot. The old man by the radio grinned and turned it off to let her song lead. Soon, the entire gathering was clapping and singing along to the chorus she invented on the fly. The chant of discord transformed into harmonized voices, part James Brown Coland response, part earth, wind and fire uplift, part roots block party cipher, all of it channeled through her voice. She saw smiles replacing frowns, fists unclenching to wave in rhythm. In that moment, the community found unity through her song, differences and frustrations melting into a single purpose. It was as if the soul of the city itself sang through her, echoing Marley's ethos of unity and Dylan's call for change. When the song ended, a cheer went up. People hugged and high-fived. The group that had been on the brink of violence now started excitedly strategizing peaceful ways to save their beloved music bar petitions, benefit concerts, reaching out to the press. Their energy had shifted from despair to determination, sparked by music and solidarity. Breathless and heart-soaring, she realized this was her first true victory. She had used her art to make a difference, however small. In doing so, she gained a new gift for her journey. Confidence in the power of her voice. This was the very essence of what her influences taught Prince's boldness. Dylan's protest spirit, Marley's unity, distilled through her own talent. As the crowd dispersed with renewed hope, a young woman from the neighborhood approached the musician shyly. "That song, it was beautiful," she said. "What's your name? We'd love to know who our hero is." Our musician paused. She hadn't really thought about how to introduce herself in this mythic quest. Back home, she was just an unknown artist. Here and now, though, she thought of the legends guiding her, of the selves she had been and could be. In that moment, a new persona formed on her lips. A name game that felt both true and intriguingly mysterious. Tim, she answered, inspired by a whisper in her heart. You can call me Tim. For a moment, she thought of all the people who had stood on tiny stages like this before they meant anything to the world. Kids named Stephanie before they were Gaga. Robin Fenty before she was Rihanna Taylor at Little Cafe Rounds. Billy Barefoot in a club corner. Arnie and Tori turning coffee houses into confessionals. Tonight, she wasn't them. She was herself, but she understood their courage in a new way. Tim, the young woman repeated, smiling. Thank you. We won't forget what you did here. With a warm wave, she went to join her friends, leaving the musician now, Tim, standing a little taller than before. Sunset approached, painting the sky in fiery oranges. Tim knew she couldn't linger. The journey was tugging her onward. As she departed the neighborhood, she glanced back and saw the mural on the wall now seemed to glow in the dusk, a painted figure strumming, a guitar under bold letters that read, "Fight the power with love." She nodded, taking that message to heart. The city had tested her mettle, and she had proven her values without losing herself. Another step on the hero's path was complete. Temptation in the dark danced with the devil at the crossroads as night fell again. Tim continued down a dim avenue leaving the city. Neon signs gave way to flickering street lamps and eventually to darkness as she ventured further. The high of the city's triumph ebbed and fatigue set in. She had been given courage, wisdom, and confidence. But now the shadows of doubt crept in with the darkness. Could her success in that community be replicated on a grander scale? When truly tested, would she be strong enough? Lost in thought, she almost didn't notice the change in scenery. The road had led her to an old crossroad on the outskirts, a place eerily quiet. A single street lamp cast a weak yellow circle on the cracked asphalt. Beyond it, cornfields rustled in the night breeze. It felt like a place out of legend. Perhaps the very crossroads where bluesmen bargained with devils for their talents, as the old folk tales warned. Tim swallowed, recalling those stories of temptation. A lone jukebox stood at the crossroads, oddly out of place, playing a crackling tune. She approached and recognized the song. It was one of hers. A demo she'd recorded alone in her bedroom was now emanating ghost-like from this jukebox in the middle of nowhere. How was this possible? As her own tentative voice played through the speaker, she felt both pride and vulnerability hearing it aloud. Lovely track, came a sly voice from the darkness. Tim whirled around. Leaning against the street lamp was a figure in a slick suit and shades, calmly smoking a thin cigar. He stepped into the light with an unnaturally smooth grace. His suit was white and immaculate, his smile just a bit too perfect. In his hand, he twirled a golden vinyl record instead of a coin. Everything about him screamed trouble, yet charisma radiated off him in waves. "Who are you?" Tim asked, instinctively backing up a step. He tipped his sunglasses and gave a grin that didn't reach his eyes. "Just a fan and a businessman," he said smoothly. "Call me Lou." Her heart skipped. "Switch the letters of Lou and you get, well, you know," he continued, seemingly reading her thought. "Hey, I've been called a devil. Sure, but I'm really just a talent agent of sorts." Lou snapped his fingers, and suddenly the crossroads transformed. The jukebox was now part of a stage setup, the street lamp, a spotlight. They stood in an open-air after-hours club that appeared out of thin air. A neon sign flickered to life above, the Midnight Oasis. All around, shadowy figures in 1920s attire lounged at tables, as if an audience of ghosts had been waiting. Tim's heart pounded. This had the surreal flair of a Quentin Tarantino dream sequence. Stylish, dangerous. dangerous and unpredictable. She felt like she'd stepped into a hidden scene from Pulp Fiction or From Dusk Till Dawn, and she wasn't sure if she was the hero or a potential victim. On stage, a band was setting up, and to her amazement, the frontman was a familiar silhouette with an afro and guitar slung low. Could it be Jimi Hendrix? He lit into a slow, bluesy riff, and the ghostly audience murmured appreciatively. Lou motioned for Tim to join him at a small table near the stage. Warily she sat, keeping her guitar close. "You've come so far, Tim," Lou said, rolling her name on his tongue. "Word on the cosmic grapevine is you're destined to make a big impact. The kind of legend people talk about." He placed the golden vinyl on the table. It spun in place like a coin, catching the light. "I happen to specialize in making legends, and I'm prepared to offer you a deal." Tim felt a cold sweat. Here it was, the classic temptation every hero faces, dressed up in a bespoke suit. "What kind of deal?" she asked quietly, though she dreaded the answer. Lou leaned forward, eyes glinting. "Fame, my dear. Real fame. Not just a neighborhood sing-song. No, I mean global superstardom. Crowds adoring you, hanging on every lyric. The resources to make any music video you dream of. Collaborations with your idols, awards, the whole shebang." He waved a hand, and in the smoky haze, Tim saw visions. Herself on stage before a screaming stadium. Gold records, lining walls, flashes of camera lights. It was intoxicating. This is what many artists yearned for, to be heard by all, to be recognized. Part of her was enthralled by the images. "What? What do I have to give you in return?" she asked, voice barely above a whisper. She knew deals like this always had a catch. Lou smiled thinly. "Oh, nothing much. Your authenticity. Your freedom to be exactly you." His tone was as casual as if asking for a spare cigarette. "I'll polish you up. Maybe tweak your style to what sells best. Might have to tone down certain messages. Protest songs don't always chart, you know, and add some crowd-pleasing fluff. But you'll still be making music, and you'll be rich and beloved. Isn't that worth it?" Tim's stomach twisted. The vision of fame wavered, replaced by an image of herself as a puppet on strings, mouth singing words that weren't truly hers. The thought of surrendering creative control, of diluting the very essence that made her music hers, felt like a dagger near her heart. But the alternative, walking away, meant continuing the hard road, uncertain if she'd ever reach those heights on her own. Doubt gnawed at her resolve. Sensing her hesitation, Lou snapped his fingers again. In a puff of smoke, an elegant vintage guitar appeared, floating towards Tim. It was lacquer black with mother-of-pearl inlays, gleaming seductively. "A token of good faith," Lou said. "This guitar, one strum, and any crowd will fall in love with the sound. A little enchantment of life." Tim reached out. The guitar hovered just at her fingertips, humming with possibilities. If she accepted it, even without signing any contract, would she be accepting his influence over her music? She glanced at Hendrix on stage. He was watching her intently between riffs, and he subtly shook his head, as if warning her. Nearby, the jukebox crackled to life with another song, one she recognized as Prince's Pop Life, and she heard the lyric, "What's It All For?" echo in her ears. Her mentor's gifts weighed in her pockets, the purple pink, the harmonica. They felt suddenly heavy, reminders of the authentic path she'd walked so far. not even closed her eyes. She pictured that girl in the bedroom, pouring her soul into songs where only she could hear. She thought of the people at the bar who rallied around music born of genuine passion. And she recalled Dylan's counsel: don't bleed out your soul for others. If she gave herself over to this deal, whatever music came out might sound like her at first, but it would no longer be her. The very soul of it would belong to someone, something else. Her eyes snapped open with resolve. In one swift motion, she grabbed the floating guitar by the neck and smashed it on the ground. The enchanted instrument shattered, a discordant note wailing from it. Gasps arose from the shadowy audience. Lou's grin fell into a snarl. I'm not for sale, Tim said, voice steady and clear. Not my sound, not my soul. No deal, Lou stood, the peasant mask gone. His eyes flashed a demonic yellow for an instant as he spat out, you foolish girl. Do you know what you've just thrown away? Tim stood as well, heart racing but unwavering. If it wasn't really mine, then I never wanted it. The slick man's form seemed to flicker, shadows elongating around him. The ghostly club began to shake, as if an earthquake of anger had been unleashed. Jimi Hendrix vanished from the stage, the spectral patrons dissolving into smoke one by one. Lou's figure began to tower, stretching into a looming darkness. You could have had it all, his voice boomed, deeper and more menacing. Instead, you'll have suffering. Tim backed away as the crossroads reappeared around them, the illusion of the club falling apart. The ground cracked beneath Lou, or whatever he truly was, and flames licked up from the fissures. If you won't play by my rules, he growled, then you'll play alone in the dark. With a terrible roar, the figure of Lou exploded into a swarm of black crows that streaked into the sky, blotting out the stars and moon. In seconds, the world was plunged into pitch-black darkness. Tim found herself utterly alone and blind. The road, the fields, the lamp, all vanished into a void of night. She fumbled in her pocket, panicked, and pulled out Dylan's harmonica. Bringing it to her lips, she tried to play a note, any note, hoping the music might bring light or guidance. But her breath produced only a shaky, thin wail. Anxiety closed around her like a vice. The temptation had been defeated, but now she had entered a new, terrifying trial. A dark night of the soul, where no guiding light could be seen. A dark night of the soul, haunted by shadows, the darkness was so complete it felt alive. Tim's own heartbeat thundered in her ears as she took a tentative step and then another, arms outstretched in the void. There was no telling what was solid ground or empty space. Had the crossroads simply ceased to exist? Was she in some null space conjured by that furious demon she defied? Her mind began to race and spiral. In the total absence of light or sound, except her own breathing, old fears crept out from the corners of her psyche. This was the inmost cave of her journey, and it was in her own mind. Doubts became whispers in the dark around her. You're a fool, hissed one voice. It sounded like a distorted version of Lou's, or perhaps her own inner critic. No one succeeds without compromise. You'll fade into obscurity. From another side, a softer voice, her own, younger and scared. What if I'm not good enough? What if everything I've done is for nothing? Other voices joined, overlapping in an eerie chorus. Some sneered, people will forget you, while others taunted, they're all gonna laugh at you. She winced at that line. It echoed like a scene from a horror movie, to haunting us to be coincidence. Every insecurity she'd ever buried, every nightmare scenario or failure, now took phantom form in that darkness. She felt spectral hands brush her shoulders, as if ghosts of failed artists past were reaching out to drag her down with them. It was a Stephen King level of terror, psychological, intimate, suffocating. In the blind black, she couldn't tell if her eyes were open or closed. Maybe I'm actually buried alive in my fears, she thought wildly. A wave of claustrophobia and panic hit her and she fell to her knees, curling around her guitar as if it were a lifeline. It was in this state, trembling, eyes wet with tears she couldn't even wipe away properly, that Tim faced the deepest question of her journey. Why continue? Why suffer this pain, this fear, just for music? She could give up. She could stop playing, stop walking this road, and sink back into safe obscurity where no critical voices would chase her because no one would hear her at all. Maybe Lou was right. Without his offer, she was doomed to struggle alone in the dark. For a long moment, she truly considered surrendering. The voices of doubt pressed closer, sensing victory. Her grip on her guitar slackened, and then, faintly, ever so faintly, she heard another sound. The soft strumming of a reggae guitar, and a warm humming, as if someone were gently crooning a lullaby in the distance. Tim held her breath. The melody was simple, reassuring three little birds, kind of simple. As she focused on it, the darkness seemed to lighten just a hair, the shadows easing their grip. She struggled to her feet, following the sound. It grew clearer, louder. She recognized the tune. It was Redemption Song, one of Bob Marley's most soul-stirring pieces, woven with themes of liberation from fear and oppression. The ethereal voice singing didn't have words, just the melody, but it was enough. Step by step, she moved toward the source, hand out in the black. Her fingers brushed something leaves, a branch. Suddenly, it felt like she was in a forest at midnight. With one more step, she pushed through an unseen doorway of foliage and tumbled forward into soft light. Tim blinked. The oppressive darkness was gone, replaced by a gentle pre-dawn glow. She was in a small clearing, surrounded by tall trees. And there, sitting on an old tree stump, was a man with dreadlocks and an acoustic guitar. He had been the one humming that Marley song. He looked up at her with kind, knowing eyes. In the dim light, his smile was as warm as a sunrise that was just beginning to break. Every little thing is gonna be all right, Mom, he said softly, patting the space on the stump beside him. His voice carried the cadence of Jamaica, instantly calming her frayed nerves. Tim's eyes widened in disbelief and profound relief. Bob Marley, she breathed. She all but collapsed onto the stump next to him. It was Marley, or his spirit, or some manifestation of hope wearing his face. And at that moment, it didn't matter which. He put a steadying hand on her shoulder. She could feel calluses on his fingers, from decades of guitar playing, no doubt. This simple human touch anchored her back in reality, away from the phantoms of her mind. How did you find me in the dark? She asked, voice quivering. He chuckled softly. I've been walking with Ye for a long time, Sister Marley replied. Just had to wait for you to need me. When the darkness comes, that's when you sing out for a little faith and light. Seen. She nodded slowly. Indeed, it was when she had nearly given up that she finally listened for something beyond her fear. Marley's presence here felt like the embodiment of inner faith. A gentle reminder that even in the darkest times, one must hold onto hope and spiritual strength. The sky in the east was turning pink. Birds chirped quietly in the trees, real birds, not demonic crows. Tim inhaled the cool morning air, cleansing her lungs of the residual dread. I was so scared, she admitted. Marley handed her a chipped mug that sat by his feet. It was filled with herbal tea, fragrant with mint. She sipped as he spoke. Fear is natural, Yana. Even me, I had fears, big ones. But I learned something. You can't be a light for others if you let the darkness snuff you out. You got to face it, sing through it, overcome it. He began to strum that famous progression of redemption song and nodded for her to join. She retrieved her own guitar, fingers still trembling, and followed his lead. Their guitars gently danced through the chords, and together they sang softly. Emancipate yourselves from mental slavery. None but ourselves can free our minds. Tim felt each lyric lifting a weight off her chest. She realized those phantoms of doubt were her own mental slavery. Marley's music had always been about liberation, not just from external oppression, but the internal kind too. She closed her eyes and sang, her voice harmonizing with his. By the time they reached the final redemption song, she felt truly free. Tears of release, not fear, wet her cheeks. The golden light of sunrise now bathed the clearing. Marley finished the song and turned to her. You have the heart of a warrior poet, he said proudly. Seen how you united those people yesterday? How you resisted temptation? And now faced your own fear? He pressed his hand against her chest gently. All that because of what's in here. That faith in yourself, in something higher, that's your inner light. No darkness can withstand it long. She placed her hand over his, feeling the steady rhythm of her heartbeat. It was strong, steady. She was alive fully, vibrantly alive, and filled with purpose again. Thank you, she whispered. There weren't enough words for the gratitude she felt. Marley reached into his knitted tam and pulled out a small item. It was a simple wooden bead engraved with a tiny lion and a peace sign reminiscent of the symbols of Zion and unity he often championed. He tied it onto a strand of her hair gently, almost like a father might do for a child. A Lyle token for courage and peace, he said. Carry the spirit of one love with you, always. She touched the bead, now nestled in her hair. Another gift, another blessing to carry. Her collection was complete. Prince's pick for creativity and boldness. Dylan's harmonica for truth and expression. Marley's bead for faith and unity. They jingled and jangled on her person like magical artifacts from a fairy tale. In the sky above, the sun had fully emerged, chasing away every last trace of the long night. Tim realized this chapter of the journey was closing. It was time to return from the mythic realms back to the world she came from, but forever changed. She stood up, feeling the strength in her limbs, the clarity in her mind. Marley stood too and wrapped her in a warm hug. Go on now, he murmured. Go share your gift. The world's ready for you, even if they don't know it yet. She hugged him back tightly, imprinting that moment into her soul. When they parted, Marley gave her one last radiant smile, and then, like morning mist, he faded into the sunlight. The forest clearing around her shimmered and dissolved as well, until Tim found herself standing once more on the familiar street in front of her own humble apartment, guitar on her back, gifts in her pocket, and the morning sun shining on her face. Her epic journey through myth and music had come full circle. Return with the song, The Hero's Homecoming. Back in the ordinary world, everything looked the same. The quiet street, the mailman on his route, the distant sound of cars. Yet she was not the same. Tim felt as though years of wisdom and experience had been lived in a single night. And in her heart burned a song, the song that needed to be sung. It was the culmination of everything she had seen and learned. An anthem for those who journey and those who listen. A story and melody that could guide others as she had been guided. This would be her elixir, the gift she'd bring back to her community from the adventure. Just as the hero of Campbell's Monomyth returns with the boon to save their world. She hurried inside her apartment. The walls still covered in music, posters of Prince. Dylan, Marley, those now felt more like family portraits than untouchable icons. Without even pausing for food or rest, she grabbed a notebook and began to write. The pen raced across pages as if guided by an unseen hand. Lyrics poured out. Verses full of raw truth and guarded secrets. Choruses that swelled with unity and hope. She drew on everything. The funky confidence from Prince. The poetic sharpness from Dylan. The spiritual warmth from Marley. The cinematic flair from her adventures. Even the lingering edge from that Tarantino-esque showdown. It all flowed together into one epic composition. When the lyrics were done, she pulled out her guitar. With a purple pick, she struck the strings, and it felt like sparks flew. She crafted a melody that was equal parts soulful, rebellious, and uplifting. There were deep bass grooves and soaring high notes. Changes in tempo that took the listener on a journey. In one bridge, she even added a subtle harmonica solo, a tribute to the folk wisdom that had guided her. As she refined the song, dawn gave way to midday, and midday to afternoon. She worked tirelessly, possessed by creativity. At last, as evening fell outside her window, Tim sat back and breathed. It was done. In her hands, she held the completed song, her masterpiece. She knew it in her bones. This was the piece that could resonate with anyone who heard it. Not because it was engineered to be a hit, but because it was true. It carried her heart, her lessons, and her soul. At least the part she was willing to share in every note. She decided it was time to let it be heard. That very night, there was an open mic event at the local music lounge. The same place she had been too shy to sign up for in the past. Now, she felt no fear, only eagerness to give this gift. With her notebook and guitar, Tim headed out. At the lounge, a modest crowd milled about under soft lights. She recognized a few faces, friends, other musicians. They were pleasantly surprised to see her ready to perform. They knew her as a quiet one, always scribbling in the corner, but never on stage. She gave a small, confident smile, a thousand stories shimmering behind her eyes, and put her name on the list. When her turn came, she stepped onto the intimate stage. A hush fell. Something about her presence commanded attention now, beyond just the novelty of her finally performing. She introduced herself simply as Tim. A couple of friends raised eyebrows at the new moniker, but she liked the mystique of it. Then she began to play. From the first chord, a hush. The purple pick danced over the strings, and her voice, steady and resonant, began the tale. It started soft, with a verse about a lonely soul yearning for more. Drawing listeners in gently somewhere in the room, a person sighed, immediately connecting to that longing. Then the tempo picked up. Drums, played by a house band drummer who'd joined in kicking into a Prince-like funk groove that had heads nodding. She sang of venturing out, of meeting mentors on the road, weaving an imagery of a poet by a crooked tree and an angel in purple Easter eggs that those in the know would recognize, yet still meaningful to those who didn't. By the time she hit the first chorus, the room was enthralled. We all walk the path of a thousand faces, finding ourselves in the stories and places. With each step we take, we're writing the song. Revealing what's right while concealing what's wrong. Hear the truth in my voice. Let it set you free. But the rest of my soul stays here with me. The refrain struck a chord. It was a clear statement that echoed her journey. She was giving them honesty, but also setting a boundary. Keeping some of herself protected, just as Dylan in her own heart had advised. Into the second verse, the energy rose further. She spun tales of a city united by song, of facing down temptation with one's integrity intact. The music turned moody and intense for that part, the hint of Tarantino-esque tension in the chords before resolving triumphantly. She belted out a high note that sent chills through the crowd. This was followed by a gentle breakdown. The lights dimmed a bit as she alone softly sang of the dark night, the fears that creep in when one is alone. There was vulnerability in her tone that made everyone hold their breath. In that silence, you could hear sniffles. Some listeners moved to tears by the rawness. Finally, with a bright cymbal crash, the song rose into its final crescendo. A reggae-inspired uplift straight from Marley's playbook. The audience started clapping along instinctively as she sang of redemption and one love. All voices coming together. She could see smiles, see people swaying, some with eyes closed, just feeling the music. She ended the song on a powerful, sustained note, strumming the last chord and letting it ring. Silence hung for a split second after, and in that heartbeat, she worried, was it too long? Too much? But then the room erupted in applause. Not polite claps, but roaring, whooping, foot-stomping applause. People stood up from their seats. Some were clapping with their hands over their heads, others whistling. The sound was deafening in the small lounge. Tim felt a swell of joy and relief wash over her. They understood. They felt it. She gave a humble bow, eyes watering at the overwhelming response. The host took the stage, blown away, repeating wow into the mic and asking her for an encore if she had any. She laughed and shook her head gently. That performance felt sacred and complete. Better not to dilute it with a cover song after. Instead, she thanked everyone sincerely and stepped off the stage. A sea of strangers and friends alike greeted her with pats on the back, hugs, and eager words. That was epic. I've got goosebumps. You've got a gift, girl. Seriously. In the midst of this, Tim realized something profound. She had done it. She had taken the journey of her inspirations and her own soul and transformed it into art that touched others. She had become a kind of modern myth teller, a bard, sharing universal truths cloaked in personal story. People felt like they knew her, now her struggles, her values, her heart, and indeed they did know those parts of her. Yet at the same time, the most intimate pieces of her remained safe, and hers alone, behind that artistic veil. Epilogue. The shield of song later that night. After the excitement had faded, and she found herself alone under the stars, Tim sat on the hood of her car with her guitar beside her. It had been a long, miraculous day. One that in truth was the culmination of a much longer journey. She gazed up at the sky, recalling the myriad faces of mentors and muses that had guided her. Prince's daring grin, Dylan's wise eyes, Marley's comforting smile. They lived on in her music and in her spirit. She also thought of the temptations and fears she overcame those two had shaped her, making her more resilient and self-aware. As a soft breeze rustled through the trees, carrying a hint of the ocean from afar, Tim whispered a quiet thank you to the universe. She understood now what many of her heroes had gone through, the mythic trials behind legendary music. Every great song or album was a world unto itself, a myth built from the songwriter's life and imagination. She was crafting her myth, layer by layer, and tonight was just the first chapter to be shared with the world. Pulling out her notebook, she turned to a fresh page and scribbled something at the top. An idea for her artistic motto going forward. Why make music? Think, Tim, if nothing else. The phrase was a bit enigmatic, but to her it meant, make music that makes people think. Think about themselves, about life, about possibilities. And if nothing else, if she achieved only that, it would be enough. It was also a reminder that her persona, Tim, was a creation of her own mind, as if telling herself, remember to think, Tim, Stay mindful of who you are beneath it all. She closed the notebook and looked out at the city lights in the distance. There was a sense of peace glowing within her, alongside a steely knowledge that the road would continue. There would be more songs to write, more challenges to face in her career and life. The difference now was that she welcomed it, all of it. She was a traveler who had returned home, only to realize that home was never a place, but a state of being. Home was in her music, in the act of creation and sharing. As she hopped off the car and headed inside, guitar case in hand, a neighbor who had attended the open mic called out, "Hey Tim, that song was incredible. I feel like I know you so well now." Tim smiled warmly and replied, "Thank you. I'm glad it meant something to you." And she meant it. Inside, she placed her guitar by the window. The reflection on the dark glass caught her eye for a moment. She saw herself and overlaid the faint reflections of Prince's poster. Dylan's Marley's behind her. In that composite mirror image, it was as if she wore a thousand faces, all the influences, all the personas she had ever admired or adopted, shining through. And behind those layers was her own face, calm and content, half hidden yet fully present. Tim chuckled softly. The world might one day unravel pieces of her story from her lyrics. Gossip about who she really is. Try to peel back the layers, but they would only ever see what she chose to share. Her music was her myth and her shield, protecting the core of her even as it revealed her soul in slices. She whispered a line from her song as she drew the curtains, a gentle benediction to the night. Hear the truth in my voice, but the rest of my soul stays here with me. And with that, the bard with a thousand faces, our hero, the modern mythmaker known as Tim, turned off the light, humming a new tune that promised tomorrow's dawn would bring another adventure, another song. The world would listen, and they would feel they knew everything about her, everything that she wanted them to know. And that was the magic of it. A perfect harmony of honesty and mystery, echoing on and on into legend. Narrative, interlude, the pantheon walk, spoken word, full of voice. Right before closing, you ever walk into a room so full of ghosts you swear the air got harmony in it. Not the scary kind, the groove kind, the mentor kind. The ones that show up when you're finally ready to level up. Picture this, a corridor, dim lights, gold glow. Records floating like planets in slow orbit. And Tim, whoever Tim is today, walking right down the middle like the universe had been waiting to say, welcome home. On the left, Prince and Purple Thunder. George Clinton, outrageous and upside down. Sly Stone, electric. Larry Graham, snapping bass lines you can't outrun. Earth, wind, and fire-raising galaxies. Brothers Johnson in full strut mode. On the right, Miles blowing the moon blue. Stanley Clarke walking the bass like a sermon. George Duke smiling in chords. Quincy Jones holding every soundtrack you remember. John Williams raising whole worlds with one downbeat. Further down the hip-hop altar, Dilla vibes in the rafters. Tribe Called Quest in cool colors. Roots in black and white realism. Questlove tapping time. Black thought mid-syllable. Jay-Z blueprinting Kanye before the chaos. Diddy with the business plan. Tiddy with the swing. Babyface with the pen. The Neptunes with the intergalactic funk. And mixed in the wild ones, the quiet ones, the poet witches and melody soldiers. Erica floating, D'Angelo smoldering. Alicia at the piano, St. Vincent bending the guitar into confession, Ani DeFranco carving the truth there, Tori Amos whispering at midnight, Dave Matthews, Crooked Joy singing, Jamiroquai drifting sideways through time, then come the modern architects, Billy and Phineas crafting worlds in a bedroom, Taylor Swift, the Queen of the Long Game, the Easter Egg Empress. Amy Allen and the quiet killer songwriters who stay in shadows but move the charts. And at the end of the hall, a mirror. Just a mirror, but not really. Because Tim stood there, and her face kept flickering. One blink, she's Prince in silhouette. Next blink, she's Taylor in a spotlight. Then Miles in shadow. Oni with a smirk. Billy with a whisper. Jay with a stance. Grace Jones with a stare sharp enough to cut reality clean open. And then just Tim. Female today. Maybe not yesterday. Maybe not tomorrow. Let them wonder. Let them guess. Let the art do what flesh never has to explain. Because the truth is simple. She, he, they, Tim is made of all of them. A thousand faces all humming the same message. Take the gift. Carry the fire. Find your sound. Write your chapter. And don't you ever, ever give your soul to the wrong hands. And so the hall fades. The glow dims. The records stop spinning. Tim steps out of the myth back into the world with nothing but a purple pick, a harmonica of truth, a bead of faith, and a destiny whispering, "You got next." And that is how the legend continues. Not by accident, not by luck, but by bloodline, the musical kind, the chosen kind, the kind you build with work, vision, and a refusal to fold. We carry the pantheon, so one day somebody walks past a mirror and sees us flicker in their reflection. Once upon a time, the story started. Tonight, we keep it going. And just like that, our story circles back to where we started, standing right here. In the now, in the beautiful chaos of creation, building this legacy, brick by brick, beat by beat, breath by breath. You've just walked through the myth, the journey, the long road behind the curtain of WDMN Media. But don't let the fantasy fool you. Every wild tale, every symbolic character, every whispered lesson in that story. Baby, it all came from truth. Because that's the thing about music. It's all real. Even when it's make-believe. Especially when it's make-believe. All those layers, all those metaphors, all those shadows, we only let you see when we want you to see them. That is craft. That's control. That's how you build a universe without giving away your soul. And speaking of universes, we ain't done expanding ours. Not even close. The If I Was Your Producer series continues. Volume 5 is still aimed straight at November 21st, like a missile with metadata. If anything shifts, we'll update you. But just know, the work is being done. The files are cooking. The art is real. The commitment is serious. And the visuals? Oh, they're coming. Because we said it earlier, and we'll say it again. Lyrics beat instrumentals, but visuals beat everything. This is the part of the journey where the music grows a body, where the story grows a face, where the art steps into the algorithm and kicks the damn door in. If AI artists can storm the charts, if avatars like Xenia Monet can hold billboard numbers and million-dollar contracts, then WDMN Media can run the same race with our own flavor and walk away with the trophy. We're leveling up because the world is leveling up around us. And to stay in this game, to rise through it, to be seen in it, we have to move smarter, create faster, dream bigger, and show the universe exactly what we're made of. And if you've listened to this episode, you already know what we're made of. We're made of vision. We're made of endurance. We're made of catalogue. We're made of heart. Hell, we're remade of 203 beats per minute and still showing up to record a podcast. How many people can say that? So if you're rocking with us, hit the follows, hit the likes, hit the shares. Instagram colon at ThinkTim, at WDMination Media, at WDMination, at DJ Warm Cookies, by Maker Music, at Lower Level Collections Facebook, WDMN, Nation Media, and ThinkTim Blue Sky. ThinkTim Merch, T Public, Calm and Threadless. Calm, tap in, stay close, don't blink, because the next era is loading, and once it launches, you're going to want to say you were here before the world caught on. And remember, failure is not an option. Say it with me, wherever you are, we will not lose. Never. And now that the tale has been told, the myth spoken aloud, the road illuminated just a little bit more, it's time to close this chapter, hold on to the wisdom, and get ready for the next story. Until then, stay focused, stay fearless, stay tuned, peace, and be wild, motherfuckers.
So cut, I play mind games with my own brain waves, slipping on beats like sun ray haze. You ever heard truth through a candy shell? That peanut butter base got a story to tell. Back and forth like a set rewind, but the future's mine on auto design.
Let you go, I ain't.